God's word as we begin this morning and declare a few things about us. Would you say these things with me? You ready? We are the assembly of Jesus, built of a diverse group of people to continue the work of Jesus in our neighborhoods, community, and the world. Our heart is to worship God with our lives, to assemble as a family and community of Jesus followers, and to share the good news as we go. Our key text this morning is from Psalms 139, verse 13. And 14. I'm going to read it from the Passion paraphrase this morning. This is what it says: "You form my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb." So, side note here, the Hebrew word for knit or wove can also be translated covered or defended. So God places an eternal spirit inside the conceived child within the womb of a mother and covers that life. Isn't that good? So I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thorough you know me, Lord. Amen. Let's pray this aloud together. Give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. And I receive it as a beloved child of God with ears to hear and eyes to see what my Father will show me. Father God, thank you for your Rhema word, your right now word for this morning. God, I pray that we would walk away from this place different as a result of spending time with you and hearing your word directly to us in our spirits this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. So over the past few weeks, we've been talking about how God has gifted us, not randomly or accidentally or as an afterthought. And today I just want to take us one step deeper, because gifts don't float in a vacuum. They are carried by who you are. And God just didn't give you gifts. He shaped you to carry them. Again, this is a series that I've taught for years in student ministry. I grabbed it from a guy named Doug Fields, who is the youth pastor of Rick Warren. And I've used it to speak and give clarity to students' lives over the years. And I think it's just as important for everybody in this room to just grab a hold of who God says we are, and not just as a collective, but you individually. And so where do we see this in Scripture, as John was pulling out this morning? Let's see it in the Scripture, right? So, well, Ephesians 2:10, it says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." That word workmanship there, it literally means carefully crafted work, which means this: God didn't just plan what you would do, he planned who you would be. You get that? Not just the gifts that you know he would give you, but he planned who you would be. And so first of all, let's talk about your heart this morning. We're doing the SHAPE acronym. We started with spiritual gifts our first 2 weeks. And today we're gonna talk about letter H, the heart. We're gonna start with that. God shaped your heart on purpose. Amen? God shaped your heart on purpose. When we talk about heart, we're not just talking about your emotions. We're talking about, you know, in God's word, this is what heart is. It means what moves you. It's what breaks you. It's what energizes you and what you can't not care about. Sorry, Miss Mary, for that double negative. It's what makes you pound your fist on the table when you're talking about it, right? It's Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." And so at face value, you know, what this verse promises, that when you delight in the Lord, he responds by giving the desires of your heart. That can mean that he grants what your heart longs for, and that he responds to a heart that is longing towards him. And that interpretation is biblical and valid, but that's not where I'm getting at today. Think about what this verse implies through relationship. We've been going through that relationship lens this whole series. We've been saying that our relationship with him is a big part of Kimberly called it out. We were having a youth ministry meeting at the house, and she said, Babe says leaning in, so we're going to lean in. So this is a big part of leaning in to discovering and using our spiritual gifts and how he made us, right? So that's relationship is right in the middle of that. And so here's where the shaping comes in. It's not from one verse alone, but from the logic of relationship and the wider lens of Scripture. It's all over Scripture. The key phrase here is delight yourself in the Lord. And so to delight in someone means to, what, enjoy them, spend time with them, get to know them, value their presence, and orient yourselves toward them, right? And it's the picture of the couple in the busy scene that we showed yesterday. Last week. And here's the relational truth. What you delight in, I mean, we all know this. What you delight in, you grow to desire. What you delight in, you grow to desire. That's not theology yet. That's just human reality. That's our human response. So it's of note that God's word is consistently connecting delight and desire. Psalm 1, it says that the blessed person's delight is in the law of the Lord. The result is a life that bears fruit. There's fruit that comes out of that. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation doesn't start with behavior. It starts with a reorientation. And Philippians 2, verse 13 lets us know, for it is God who is at work in you, both to desire and to work for his good pleasure. So notice, God works in you, including your desires or your will, right? And so this verse explicitly teaches that God affects what we want. And so what Psalm 37:4 is saying, coming back to that, is really saying, put simply, is that God is not a vending machine promise. It's not saying delight in God to get whatever you want. That's not what we get from the verse. This is a relational promise. As you delight in God, your heart aligns with his, and he delights to fill those desires. Does that make sense? Or said another way, when God becomes your joy begins to look like his. That's not manipulation, that's formation. That's him shaping us. God doesn't overwrite your heart or ignore who you are. He doesn't just wipe out all of your desires. He forms us through relationship, delighting in him. He refines what we love with what he loves then. That's how it happens. And he aligns our heart with who he made us to be. So this is what your heart does then. It begins to reveal where God might use you. Now, so that's those questions again. What stirs compassion in you? What stirs, what injustice bothers you? What need do you notice maybe that others overlook? That's not accidental. Anybody remember Nehemiah's story? Nehemiah wasn't a prophet or a priest. He was just a cupbearer to the king, a trusted government official in a foreign empire, and his job was political and practical and honestly probably pretty comfortable. And one day, people arrived from Jerusalem, and Nehemiah asked a question. He said, how are the people? How is the city? And they told him that the walls were broken down and the gates burned with fire and the people were living in disgrace. And Nehemiah's response is pretty striking. He says, now when I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days. Before Nehemiah ever picked up a stone, and if you don't know the story, he's about to build some walls to fortify the city. Before he ever picked up a stone to rebuild that wall, before he ever made a plan, before he ever stood before the king, his heart broke. So God didn't start with an assignment. God started with a burden. Nehemiah wept because God was shaping his heart to care deeply about something that he cared about, and he couldn't ignore it. And that burden became the doorway to his calling. So God often burdens before he assigns. He puts something in us. What moves your heart may be where God is already at work. music has always been a part of my heart. It moves me. A good song breaks me. It'll bring me to tears. Anybody, you know, you just be crying when you're driving down the road. And then music also energizes me. You know, get a good bumping tune, and you're like, yeah, it gives me life. And so it's something I can't not care about. And so from the youngest age, I was cranking up the music to volume 11 and singing into building blocks when I was down in mom and dad's basement, you know, pretending I was Michael W. Smith or Rick Florian from Whiteheart, you know, and I spent hours in the basement just singing and dancing and just being a kid and loving life, you know, listen to all the music. That was what I did for fun. That's what was in me. And so then I got my hands on a little Casio keyboard that also doubled as a calculator. Anybody have one of those? You could do your math assignment or play a keyboard. And I carried that thing everywhere. I was banging out what I thought was music, whatever I went. And eventually, I upgraded to a keyboard that actually could play chords. Still entry level, but a big step up, and I spent hours on that thing. I was just pounding on it. And then one Christmas, mom and dad surprised me, and they bought me a keyboard amps and my first professional keyboard, a Roland D70. And not only that, they threw in a sequencer and a drum machine. And so I started making my own music. And about that same time, I started jumping onto church worship teams. My youth pastor, Pastor Colleen, she invited me to play the congas. She was the worship pastor. Invited me to play the congas, she was worship pastor and youth pastor. And so I told Jerry the other week, I played them with so much passion that a lot of times by the end of the service, my fingers would literally be bleeding on the lines because I would just play them so hard. I just loved it so much. And I didn't even notice until we were done. I just banged those things. And that was my first experience playing with a live band was in the church. And I loved it. And so it was a year later, I was at that church up in Aberdeen, and it was at a talent show that the church was doing, and a group of boys that, you know, called themselves a hip-hop band asked me on the spot to put some music to their song, and I did, and that turned into, you know, our hip-hop band. And I was trying to find a video of that first performance, but I couldn't amidst the hours and hours of footage that mom and dad filmed of me over the years of doing concerts. But eventually, you know, bands tend to fall apart, and so I just started singing songs as Shawn Michael, and I would go around, and I was entering Battle of the Bands contests. I mean, it just drove me. It was just something. You know, we have athletes that'll spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours, you know, bulking up and working on the dribbling or shots or football throws or whatever. I spent 5 hours on the keyboard every day. And it was just something that was in my veins. And so we ended up playing a couple of guys, Chris Bruce, and I mean, some names that you would know from the Destiny family. We would play churches and festivals and youth groups and all over the state. And I wanted to find that video because I was wearing some bib shorts and totally did not look hip hop, but it was my best effort for their worship. In fact, building up and releasing worship leaders and worship. Worshippers, and interestingly enough, when I was there, God spoke so clearly to me, very, very clearly. He told me to lay it down, to lay my music down for a season while I was there. I was like, man, I could be learning from some of these guys, and they said, no, not right now. And I think, you know, think back at that choice and that time, it just felt so ironic to me. I had a lot of opportunities there, but I obeyed, and I focused on my studies and my relationship on God, which I think needed some focus. And coming out of that season, I was hired into full-time youth ministry, and I ended up doing that for 2 decades of my life and just never looked back. When I started here at Destiny, 2001, April 1st, I never knew if it was a joke or not, but I was playing with Pastor Brett that Sunday. And that's when I really began to grow. And I still remember my first Sunday on the job. We used to have the two keyboards that set up and we would co-lead. That was part of my job description. And we were playing in worship and Pastor Brent, the first Sunday on the stage, you know, he would play a solo like he would and the piano would just start on fire. Like what would happen when he plays a piano solo? And he looked at me with that lazy eye that he has that we were all scared of up on that stage. And he said, "Take it, Sean." And I had no idea what to do. So I just played the chords and I just smiled, you know. But as I continued to grow in my relationship with God, he continued to mold and shape my heart to use the very gift that he had planted there from the beginning. So God didn't accidentally put music on my heart. And he was forming something long before I knew how I could even use it, really. And he shaped it. And at one point, he asked me to surrender it. And then he gave it back with purpose. And so just a key point to remember when we're talking about our heart, your heart is not a distraction, but it's likely a direction. God uses what you care about deeply many times to point you toward where you're meant to serve. So that's heart. Let's talk about letter A, your abilities. So not surprisingly, God also gave you abilities for a reason. Abilities are the things that you pick up naturally, that you learn quickly, the things that you do competently, sometimes without even realizing it. Some are spiritual, some are practical, some are learned, some are instinctive. All of them matter. So I love to talk about Creator God. I love the God who made everything. It's amazing to think about. He spoke things into existence, and then he created us in his image, creators with intrinsic gifts and abilities just like our creator. Yeah. And I think about Bezalel from the book of Exodus. It says, "I have filled him with the spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all kinds of craftsmanship. I gave it to him." Holy Spirit gave it to him to create artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze and in the cutting of stones for settings and in the carving of wood so that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. I love that. I love it. God fills Bezalel with the Holy Spirit to design, to craft, and to build. Holy Spirit empowers artistry in us. It empowers creativity in us. How cool is that? So now we all understand that your natural abilities does not equal spirituality, and that's okay. Some people feel guilty for being good at things that don't feel churchy. But scripture never separates the sacred from the practical. First Peter tells that as each one who had received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. Whatever gift, administration, you know, technology, music, leadership, problem solving, hospitality, doing the laundry, right? We were talking about this in youth group. You know, whatever gifts he's given you, God doesn't waste a skill. Most of my abilities kind of land in what people would call the creative and artistic zone. I'm a little bit techie, just enough to get, you know, in trouble with the creative landscape in the digital world. I love creative projects of all kinds, you know, graphics design and video editing and building websites and writing sermons and penning songs and chasing new melodies. And honestly, I love it all. And for a long time, I just thought that was, you know, me. And stuff I enjoyed and just things I was naturally drawn to. And I never really imagined that the things I enjoyed so much would become such a central part of how I serve God. But that's what he does. I didn't wake up in one day and said, "You know, this is gonna be ministry." I was just doing what God already wired me to love. But over time, I started to realize God wasn't asking me to ignore my abilities or even set them to the side. He was asking me to surrender them. Oh, man, I learned that at Christ for the Nations. I learned surrender. And once I did, he began to use those same abilities, not for any platform that I was trying to build for myself, but for his purposes. God rarely wastes what he's already placed inside of you. Can I say that again? God rarely wastes what he's already placed inside of you. He redeems it, he refines it, and he calls us to offer it back to him. So if you want to write down a key truth regarding your abilities, it's this: God rarely asks you to ignore your abilities, he asks you to surrender them. At least that's a lesson I learned. And then by surrendering them, you know, here's what I mean by that. I mean allowing him to shape how those abilities serve others, not just myself, but I mean letting God decide how and when and for whom they're used. I mean trusting him with the outcome of using your ability. So lastly, I want to talk about letter P, your personality. And just like the others, God designed your personality not by accident. Some of you are outgoing and expressive and energized by people. And some of you, you're a little bit more like me, you're reflective, you know, you're quiet, a little bit more quiet, thoughtful. Maybe you're energized by quiet and depth. And guess what? The church needs both. The church needs both. Paul says we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Different gifts, different wiring, same Holy Spirit. We see a bit of extroversion in Jesus as he speaks to the crowds and he asks big questions, but then we see another side of him as he withdraws often to quiet places and he sits in silence. And that's probably true of a lot of us too. We kind of step into both realms. We have a default wiring. God equips us for wherever we are and whatever he calls us to. Personally, you know, personality is not something to overcome. It's something to steward, right? And so when we think about leaders that God uses, we tend to think, I mean, when we think of leadership, we tend to imagine confident speakers and, you know, bold personalities and people who just light up a room. But one of the most significant leaders in all of Scripture didn't see himself that way at all. Moses actually argued with God about being called. Remember that? He said, "I'm not eloquent, I'm slow of speech." And in other words, this doesn't seem to fit who you made me to be. It's not my personality. And God didn't say you're wrong. God said, what did he say? "I will be with you. I'm gonna be with you." God doesn't override Moses' temperament. He worked through it. He used it. And Moses went on to lead a nation, not because he was loud, but because he was faithful and dependent and willing. Sometimes we assume that God can only use a certain type of person, and it seems like we always think that it's the other type of person that's not us. But Scripture tells a different story. God doesn't call us to become someone else. On your notes, he calls us to trust him as ourselves. So let's just bring it to a place where our heart and our ability and our personality align. This is where the things, you know, start clicking. We start having fun. I love to do this with students. I love to call out what's already in them. I love to call out what's in you to live the fullest of life that God's given you. So things click when what you love, your heart, and what you're good at, your abilities, and who you are, your personality, start pointing in the same direction. And ministry stops feeling forced. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, remember that it says, God has arranged the parts, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. Not randomly, not begrudgingly, just as he wanted. So why does this matter for the church? Well, part of it is we don't need everybody doing the same thing. God designed it so that everyone would be doing their thing together. That's the church. You don't serve to earn belonging. I hear Brent saying this. You serve from belonging. Some of you have felt overlooked or unsure or maybe like you don't quite fit. But maybe the issue was never whether you were gifted. Maybe it was discovering how God shaped you. Can I just encourage you in that this morning? Psalm 139 says, I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. God didn't rush when he made you. And he's not confused about how to use you. He's not confused at all. If you're one of those that feels like a misfit, because believe me, I've been there before. Let me say this. You are not unfinished. You are not miswired. And you are shaped on purpose. I didn't have this planned, but I think I want to sing a song for us, and then we're going to close. Is that all right? All right, let's do it. It was one of those... Sorry, I'll get on the microphone. It was... I'm electric. It was one of those moments when I was in the car and the song came on and it just kind of broke me. So I want to sing this song because it fits so well in what we're seeing this morning. All right, we ready? Again, Do something just a little bit different and very intentional. So we've talked about how God has shaped you and your spiritual gifts and your heart and your abilities and your personality. And for many of you, I've already been hearing it. Something's been resonating. Something clicked or something stirred. And so rather than just rushing out and just forgetting the moment and forgetting this leaning into that we've been doing all month long with the voice of God, I just wanted to invite you to respond while it still fries. And so this is, you know, what we were talking about last week, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. For some of you, you know, I just believe working through this, and I've seen it time after time as I've kind of gone through similar message series with students where the light kind of clicks. It's like a moment of clarity. This is who God made me to be. And for others, it may raise new questions, and that's good too. This is just space, and I believe that that's how we're supposed to end this day. You don't need to become someone else to be used by God. Can I say that to somebody this morning? You don't need to become somebody else to be used by God. You need to trust that he already knows how he shaped you. So just take a few moments. We'll put on some light music, and I want to give us the opportunity to listen and to write and pray. Let me pray real quick, and then we'll do that. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for speaking. God, I just pray that as we just do this exercise and just listen, that you would speak and you would give clarity and formation and even transformation in some of our lives. No matter the age, Lord, you speak and you form and you transform and you keep on doing it. It never stops. And so, God, thank you for shaping us the way that you have. God, we lean in and we listen. God, in your name we pray. Amen.